I want us to begin morning in the passage, in a passage that actually Brother Tim read last week in the lesson that he taught last Sunday morning. And I want us to begin reading there again, kind of as our starting off place today, in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. When he read this passage and mentioned some things about it, I began thinking about it and didn't know that I would end up thinking about it again for this message, but the Lord knew, and He brought all this together. I pray that what He has brought together I will be able to express to you this morning in a way that you might understand it. Exodus chapter 19, and let's begin in reading in verse 9. I hope my voice holds out. It's kind of giving me a fit, but hopefully it will. Fortunately or unfortunately for you, hopefully it will. Exodus 19, now let's begin, jump in verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now it's important to note here before we go on, this thick cloud is not what is going to cause the people to believe the Lord or believe in Moses, but the fact that God is speaking to him, and the people will hear God speak to him, that is what will cause them to believe. The thick cloud is just there to cover the glory of the Lord. We're going to talk more about that. And the Lord said, verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourself, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be a beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and spake unto them. Now here we have the account, as Brother Tim spoke of last week, we have the account of the presence of the Lord Jehovah, upon Mount Sinai. And his presence there, thank you, his presence there was seen as a cloud. Actually, his presence there was covered with a cloud. In some parts of Scripture, it was called thick darkness. This cloud, in reality, covered his glory. You remember what the book of Hebrews called the Lord? It called him a consuming fire. And that is his glory. That is a portion of his person. And that's what this cloud here was covering. the Lord Jehovah as a consuming fire. Also here, we have the Lord giving very stern and repeated instruction that the people could not come near to the place that he was. It's very apparent in Scripture that the Lord was very serious about this, wasn't it? He said, Moses, you tell them that they're not to come near. And then Moses went up there. I don't imagine it was a light climb up that mountain. But he went up there, and the Lord said, now go back down there and tell them again. And you might say, well, that's funny. The Lord did that. Well, there's a reason it's recorded like that in Scripture for us. The Lord was very insistent that they not break through the bounds that he set, that the people knew exactly what was going on there. And we have here also, he tells us very clearly, if they did break through, that his wrath would go forth, and they would experience the judgment of death. The judgment of death would be sure, and it would be swift. The Lord was so adamant about it, he made Moses go down and tell the people again, not to come near. Now, let's move over a few more chapters to Exodus 29. Exodus 29 and verse 42, and we're just jumping in again. Exodus 29 and verse 42, and notice what this says. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Notice this phrase, where I will meet with you to speak there unto thee, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now that's a lot different than the account that we just read at Sinai, isn't it? A lot different. God has actually provided a place and a way for the children of Israel, those same people, to meet with him. You know, basically at Sinai, he told the people, get back. Get away. Moses, you make sure that they stay back. But here he says, come here. Here he says, come here. What's different? Has God changed? Is this the same God here that we just read about in Exodus 19? Is that the same God? Well, let's look at him again in relation to this tabernacle in Exodus 40. And we'll see if this is the same, if this be the same God or not. In Exodus 40 and verse 33, Exodus 40 and verse 33, it says this, and he, Moses, reared up the court round about the tabernacle and altar and set up the hanging of the court gate, so Moses finished the work. And now get this. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now wait a minute. Over here in Sinai, how was the presence of the Lord known? It was known by the cloud, wasn't it? That covered the mountain. So here we have the account of another cloud. It's the same God. He revealed himself to these people the same way. In a cloud. The same God. His consuming glory was veiled by the cloud of thick darkness. Now wait a minute. Back here at Sinai in Exodus 19, why was the Lord so insistent that the people get away? Why was he so insistent to even make Moses go down there again and tell them, make sure that they don't come near unto me. Well, in one word, it's this word, justice. That's the reason the Lord was so insistent. He had called Moses and the people to that mount for a specific reason. We have read some of Exodus 19. What is it that Exodus 20 is all about? If you listened to Brother Tim last week, you'll know that that is the giving of God, a part of God's law. God was about to reveal in Exodus 19, and then in Exodus 20, He was about to reveal His law to man as He never had before. And again, what is the law of God? Apostle Paul said the law of God is the knowledge of sin. It's the knowledge of sin. And what does a holy, righteous, and just God do with sin? He gives it justice. A holy and just and righteous God always gives sin its deserved payment. And He tells us the wages of sin is death. What a picture this is here at Sinai of the truth that the Lord of Jehovah is of purer eyes than even to behold sin. You know, most of the world are somewhat familiar with this account. They have seen it on television for many, many years, or at least a rendering of it. They're somewhat familiar with this account, but they don't really believe that the God, the Lord Jehovah, is the God that He expresses Himself to be, do they? They don't really believe that He's holy and righteous, and that it is really of pure eyes than to behold sin. But right here is the picture of it. God's law was going to declare one thing about these people. And that's the reason He told Moses, make sure they stand back. It was going to declare that these people were sinners. And it has been declaring the same thing about all men ever since, including you and I. That's what God's law declares. Well, what about this other passage? What about this other passage here where God tells the same God, tells the same people, the same sinful people, not get away, but He tells them to come near? What's the difference? Well, there is something between Exodus 20 and Exodus 29. Up to chapter 25, we have the giving of God's law, and even a little bit in chapter 25. And that ends up like this in chapter 24 and verse 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire, consuming fire, on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Why did he look like that to them? They were sinners. God's law had just declared that they were sinners. And I want to tell you, if you don't know this by now, I pray the Lord will reveal it to you. When God's law declares you a sinner, that's how you see the Lord Jehovah as a devouring fire. It strikes fear in your heart. Verse 18, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and get him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. That's how that passage ends up. But then look at chapter 25 and verse 8. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary. And notice this phrase, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show, declare thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so yet shall ye make it. God said, over here in Sinai, He said, get back. But here He says, let them make a tabernacle, that I may dwell among them. And make it just like I tell you to make it. That's very important, Moses. You make it just like I tell you to make it. And then in verse 10, he gives instruction for the making of an ark. An ark of the covenant. An ark of shittim wood. In verse 17, He gives instruction for the making of a mercy seat. In verse 23, the making of a table of showbread, declaration bread. In verse 31, he gives the instruction for the making of a golden candlestick. And on the next page is the instruction for the structure of the tabernacle itself. On the next page is the instruction for the court of the tabernacle. On the next page is the garment and the attire for the priest, the high priest, and the priest. Now, Lord willing, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at a little more at these things in a little more detail. But I want to show you this morning in advance what all of these things are really about and why we have such a difference, if you will, in the attitude of God here. Why we see Him telling the people at Sinai to get away and then instructing Moses to tell the people to come here, that I will dwell among them. And to do this, I want us to return to our account in Matthew 17 that we dealt with this morning, the account of the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, let's go back there. What is the difference between these passages over here in Exodus? Matthew 17, some of you weren't here, let's read it again at the beginning in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light, as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While Peter yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I tell you, there's going to be a quiz on verse 5. Read that again. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. Now here's the quiz. What does this account here in Matthew and those other accounts have in common? Actually, there are several things, but one main thing that ought to catch your attention that ought to catch your attention very quickly. There's a cloud here. A cloud mentioned. That's the most obvious. Hey, do we know who is in the cloud? Do we know who that is? Well, yeah. If we look in Scripture, we find that there's a God that reveals Himself to people in a cloud. A God who covers His glory, is the consuming fire of His glory by a cloud. And that's the same God, this same God. Here, as well as back here in the Old Testament. Who is that God? He's the only God. He's the Lord Jehovah. That's Him. This is Him. Just today we've seen Him manifest Himself the same way over and over. So we should know, hey, this is the same God. He covers Himself here with a cloud of smoke or thick darkness. And you know what? Here, like in most other passages, I did a little bit of study. If you push in a cloud in your computer, if you have a program, and start to look around with the Lord reveals Himself in a cloud, here, like in most other places, when He just shows up like this, it's usually not just for a friendly visit. It's usually not. I think we can glean from the words here, we already talked about it a little bit, that Peter spake, it says, while he yet spake, Peter said, Lord, let's make a place of worship for you and for Moses and Elijah and you also. And the Bible says, while he yet spake, God interrupted. And I think that we can glean from that that the Lord had been offended by Peter's remark. The Lord had been offended by Peter's suggestion, more so his frame of mind here. And when the Lord is offended, what's on his mind? When the Lord Jehovah, the God of heaven and earth, is offended, I can tell you, because he is holy, because he is righteous, there's one thing on his mind, and that's justice. Justice. Just look back at Sinai. He said, get those people away. You make sure they don't come in, because I'm about to give the law, and the law declares that they are sinful, and I am offended by sin. Justice is on his mind. Is that law that he gave way back there at Sinai, his first law. You remember the first law? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. You shall have no other gods except for me. And you know what? What Peter is suggesting here is the exact opposite of that. The exact opposite. It is an exact contradiction to the first commandment that God gave. And the Lord Jehovah himself appears in this cloud to set matters straight. And he does this by saying, this is my beloved Son. Now, wait, stop. Who's in the cloud? The Lord Jehovah. And Christ was right here. And God came down from heaven above in this cloud. The Lord Jehovah came down from heaven above in this cloud. And he said of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, this is my beloved Son. How the world needs to hear that today. This man. Peter says, oh, Moses and Elijah, they're glorious, Lord. The Lord stopped him mid-sentence and said, this man, the Lord Jesus, is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Which just reiterates what Christ said. It says, he said, I have all power and authority. Hear ye him, is what he said. He is the one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we are to hear and to heed. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Pretty simple. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's just how simple God wanted it to be. It's his Son that we are to hear. It's his Son that we are to believe in. Not the thousands of other gods that religious men have made up and men of this world are making up. Not them. There's one. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's him. That's pretty straightforward from the mouth of God himself. Are you hearing him? Are you heeding his word? Or do you stand in rebellion to his word? Because his word is very straightforward, very simple, very plain. Christ is the one. This man, the man Christ Jesus, is the one. There is no other. So we see God here, and we see his justice arise at the presence of sin. And then we also see another thing that these passages have in common. The reaction of the people. You remember at Sinai? They heard God. They saw his presence veiled in this smoke. And it says over there that they feared so that they trembled at his voice. You remember the reaction that they had when Moses came down off the hill and his face shined. They said, veil that face. Veil that shining face because he had been with God. They even told Moses, said, Moses, please, let God talk to you and you come talk to us. Don't let him talk to us directly. That's how fearful they were of this consuming fire of a God. They feared. And here in verse 6, it says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. By the way, this is the right reaction of anyone who has sinned against this just and righteous consuming fire of God. And we've all sinned. That's the right reaction. So do we fear him? Do we fear the, the Lord Jehovah, does the reality of our sin and our trespasses and our crimes that we have committed against Him, do they bring fear and dread to our hearts? It should. It should. If it doesn't, we're not thinking clearly. Like we said last week, we've either underestimated our sin or we've underestimated our God. One of the two, or both. Or both. In our sin, we should all be greatly afraid. Just as these men were here, just as the people were at Sinai. But now let's talk about that difference back in Exodus. The difference between the time when God said to the people, get away, and the time when God said to the people, come near. The difference that is typified in that tabernacle, and in its furnishings, and in its offerings, and in its priest, and in its high priest, because that difference is right here. That difference is right here. Do you see it? That difference is right here. Do you see Him? Do you see Him? A great sin has been spoken here. And in response to this sin, the God of justice has made His presence known. Surely, the breach of His law is a serious thing. So serious that death is the just deserved of it. And these men know it. Look at their reaction. They fell on their face. They were sore afraid. I looked at that word, sore. It means greatly, but it means more than that. It means exceeding afraid. Do you know what that means? More than afraid. They were more than afraid. That's a fear that passes fear. But did they get their just deserve? No, they didn't. Why? They had broken Peter by his own words. And I don't know if the other men joined in with him. Maybe said, yeah, you're right, Peter. I don't know. But by his own words, he broke the first commandment in the very presence of God. You might say, wow, that's a bad thing. Sure is. And so do we. We just read that, sang that psalm that said He's everywhere. We cannot flee His presence. Wherever we are, He knows everything about Him. We are in His presence. And yet we break His commands every day. But did they get their just deserved? No, they didn't. Why? Look at verse 7. And Jesus came. And Jesus came. Listen, you want to know the difference between Sinai, where God says, get away, and then the place where God said, come to me. You know what it is? And Jesus came. And Jesus came. And that's what all the tabernacle is about. That's what all the furnishings are about. That's what the clothing of the priests are about. That's what the priests themselves are about. They're all about, and Jesus came. They're all about the Lord Jesus coming to this world to satisfy the justice of God for us, to save us from our sin. It's all about Him. Every bit of it. Up here on this Mount of Transfiguration, sin and blasphemy was committed before God, and God responded. The same God responded. The God who covers His glory in a cloud, He responded, and the penalty for that sin is sure and certain death. But do you see it? His Son, the Savior, was there. That's the difference. That's the difference. And where there was fear, exceeding fear, His presence, His touch, erased them. You see it? And Jesus came and touched him and said, arise, be not afraid. Arise and fear not. Isn't it amazing that the world, and maybe you here in this building or those that may hear this throughout the world, that people have stopped their ears at this gospel. They hate this gospel. They will not have this gospel. But yet it is the only thing that can save them from the just wrath of God against their sin. He's the only thing that can save them. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He's the only one that can save any of us. Something's got to be wrong with our hearts when we reject this glorious news. Something's got to break. A man can talk about free will all he wants, but I want to tell you, something's wrong with the will of a person that can see accounts like this, that can hear, read in God's account, and see how holy and righteous God is, and how sinful and wicked we are, and see that there is a Savior for sinners like us, a Savior that can reconcile us again to our Creator and God and say, no, I won't have that. Something is wrong with that will. May God save us from that will, because He'll have to. That's our only hope. People can say, I've said it before. They can say that God makes us a robot. If you believe in election, you believe God makes him a robot, hey, that's okay with me. Keep on talking. That's not really the way it is. But I'd rather be a robot than suffer in the fires of hell for all eternity. And people just go on with that nonsense. He's the only one that can save us. He's the difference. Right here, God shows it to us from heaven itself. He said, this is my Son. This man, Christ Jesus, is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you Him. Not another. There's no need to look any further. Hear Him. And then right here He shows us the effect of that thing. He shows us mercy. Right here in the very same passage where the God of justice comes forth, we see mercy. We see grace. We see salvation. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the difference between death and life. You don't want to know why Peter and those disciples were spared that day? You boil it all down, it was Christ. It was Him. They had sinned against God. Justice was sure death. But they received mercy instead. He's the difference. The Lord Jesus Christ is the difference between death and life. We see it right here. He's the difference between separation and reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ is. What was the difference back here in Sinai? What was the difference between the God who said, get out, and the God who said, come here? His Son was the difference. That beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. All those things in between there that we looked at, they were all about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. He's the difference between the fear of God and peace with God. The judicial fear of God and peace with God. Christ is the difference. If you're a sinner today and you have felt the judicial fear of God, I can tell you there is one that you can flee to that can remove that fear. Just one. But He can do it. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, there's another similarity here in this passage to the others back in Exodus. It's subtle, but I think it's here. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is that difference. He is that one that can give us fear, give us peace in the place of fear. He is that one that can give us reconciliation in the place of separation. But there's a reason that He is. There's a reason that He is. If you go back and read about the tabernacle back in Exodus, before long, it won't be long, until you read about the shedding of blood. It won't be long until you read about sacrifice. It won't be long until you read about a payment being made for sin. You see, Christ's person is typified in all those things back there in the tabernacle. But so is His sacrifice also. His work is also typified there. So is the great price that He paid to put an end to our sin. There's a reason that He is the Savior. Not just that He is the Son of God, though He is. You can't separate that. But He did something to be our Savior. He gave Himself for us. He put an end to our sin to save us from divine justice. This reason, I think, is seen here in verse 8. It says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. You know, I was thinking about this, before the sin was committed, before the judgment of God came, or God came in judgment, Christ was involved in a glorious thing. Like I said this morning, what happened there before those men's eyes was unparalleled, even to this day. He was involved in a glorious thing. He was showing forth His glory while He was on this earth. He was showing forth His preeminence. He was showing forth His reign. He told those men, there's some of you that are going to see the kingdom of God. And in other places He said, come in power. He showed forth His reign, His deity, His Godhead, Godship here in this account on that mountain. Moses was there, and Elijah was there. Peter did say something, right? It was good. It was good. But after this sin, what did verse 8 say? And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus. After this sin, the glory was gone. The Lord's glorious friends were gone. And He was left to His humanity. Even this, I believe, is a remembrance of the price He paid for our sin. He said He laid aside the glory of His deity. He didn't lay it aside His deity, but He laid aside the glory of His deity and became man. And became man alone, the lone Savior. To say to die, to suffer, to bleed, to die our death. You know, sin is a horrible thing. But our Savior, sinners, is a glorious one. He is a glorious Savior. And He paid a great price. And we see it even there. He was involved in something glorious. But sin entered in. And He was left to His own. He paid a great price, but I tell you the price was enough. He paid it all. 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about this. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty, that ye through His poverty might be rich. I think that scene right there. The glory was gone. Christ was left to His humanity, and you know where He went from here? From this point? To Jerusalem. To suffer for His people. To die a cursed death. God said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Look at Sinai a minute. How will you escape the justice of such a righteous and terrible God because you've sinned against Him? How will we escape such justice? This passage answers that, hear ye Him, Christ the Lord. What's the difference between God saying to sinners, get away, and saying to the same people, the same sinful people, come to Me? This passage answers it. Hear ye Him. Christ the Lord. How will you escape the dread of sin and its justice? Same way. Hear ye Him. May the Lord Jehovah, by the power of His Spirit, give us all ears to hear this morning. To hear what His Word, what He says to us through His Word. There is a Savior for sinners condemned by the law of God. There is a Savior that can save you to the point that you cannot be condemned. That Savior is simply Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only one, and He's the only way. May the Lord open His Word unto us this morning that we might see these great and wonderful truths. May He give us ears to hear. May He give us faith to believe. upon this blessed and wonderful Savior unto the salvation of our souls. We praise the Lord for His great word. Such mercy. You know, even as we read the word this morning, that same mercy is upon us this day. The same mercy that spared those three disciples there on that hill. The same mercy that made a way for those sinful people, children of Israel, who were separated by their sin, to come unto Him, and that He would dwell among them. The same mercy is there through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.